What is it that men should be looking for when they're thinking about who they're going to marry? As I mentioned in the previous video, marriage has fallen on some pretty hard times in our country. The divorce statistics are through the roof. You know, it's really quite a mess. I want to point out what the scriptures say are the priorities for a godly woman. And I actually, over the years as I've studied the Bible, I put together a chart that I made a handout of for a sermon I preached recently on biblical manhood or womanhood. I can't remember what was it? Yeah, Strong Daughters of Zion is what I called that sermon. And I'll put a link to it in the description here so people can see it. And I'll see if I can get a link to this little chart I put together. The godly woman versus the immoral woman. The Bible presents us with a whole bunch of attributes of a godly woman, and they're contrasted with the attributes of an immoral woman. And you could do the same kind of thing with a godly man versus an immoral man, too. But I want to talk about this because God has been so kind to me, so gracious to me, first and foremost by bringing me a godly woman who is so special, is truly one of the sweetest people I sincerely have ever met. I'm not just saying that because we've been married for 2 decades and have 9 children, but because she really is, and she is just the most wonderful woman, sincerely, that I've ever met in my entire life. She really is. And when I first met her, the thing that was such a draw to me for her was her godliness and her modesty. And the fact that she really cared about people. She was a person that you could tell she wasn't interested in being cool. She wasn't interested in trying to look, worldly or rebellious. She loved Jesus. And she loved God and loved the Bible. And she loved people. She just had a huge heart for people. She was very hospitable. She loved to cook for people. She loved to have people over. She met with lots of other younger girls there in college, and just was such an incredible influence on so many people, including me. And the way we met is actually kind of interesting. We had a lot of friends in common that knew each other and knew both of us, but she and I had never met each other. And the pastor of the church where we both attended every Sunday decided that for his college fellowship group, and there were a lot of college students that went to this church, he wanted to have a guy and a girl kind of co-lead that group, like its fellowship events and retreats and Sunday school lessons and things like that. And so he asked me and Amy to teach this class together, and we had never met each other. And we were introduced, and immediately I just thought, wow, what a really wonderful woman of God. Wow. I just really thought really highly of her. And at the beginning of that year of college, I was with my roommate. His name was Greg. And we were at this bagel shop, and we were getting some food, and it was getting like a couple days before classes were going to start. We were out buying books and stuff. And Amy came into that little bagel shop, and Greg had not met her before. And so I just met her. So I introduced her to Greg, and we just chatted for a second, and then she got her stuff and she left. And Greg looks over at me and says, "That right there, Patrick, you need to pursue that." And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Man, you need to pursue her for sure." I'm like, "You just met her, man. How can you tell?" It's like, "Oh, well, she's got a great reputation, and people really think highly of her, and man, you need to make the most of this opportunity here." So eventually I did see, yeah, I need to pursue her. But more on that later. But what is the thing that men need to really look for? What is it that ought to attract them? And what is it that women really want to try to put forward? If they really do love the Lord, what you want to have in your life and in your heart, the thing that you want to be characteristic of you, is a gentle and quiet spirit. In 1 Peter 3:4, it says that about the godly woman. She has a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, in contrast to that, the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11, it says, she was loud and rebellious. This is the immoral woman. Proverbs 7:13. So she caught him and kissed him. You know, she's sexually aggressive. Proverbs 5:4. She is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So that's the immoral woman. The godly woman has a gentle and quiet spirit. She's not assertive like that with men. She is as gentle and quiet. And that's what my dear wife, that's what she was characterized by. I could see that in her. She was not flirtatious at all with guys, and I really liked that about her. One of the things that eventually to me became just a massive turnoff was when girls were flirtatious. I did not like that. And there were a lot of, you know, young women there in college that, and even young Christian women who were very flirtatious, and it drove me nuts. I hated that. It was vile to me. And, you know, Amy wasn't like that at all. And I really, really respected and loved that about her. She did not give out that kind of affection, or attention to men, at all. And I just thought that was wonderful. Another contrast. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to the end of that chapter is a glorious, glorious description of godly womanhood. But one of the things that it says about the godly woman, Proverbs 31:35, is strength and honor are her clothing. Now contrast that to Proverbs 10:7. The immoral woman wears, quote, the attire of a harlot, end quote. In other words, she dresses to attract male attention. The immoral woman wears the attire of a harlot, meaning what? She is trying to get men to gawk at her, to look at her. She wants that attention from men. But the godly woman's not like that. What does she wear? Strength and honor are her clothing. She dresses modestly, purposefully, modestly. Now, the church I went to in college back in the mid-1990s, there were probably 50 to 80 college students that would show up there every Sunday morning. And it was a great group of young people. But there were young college-age Christian girls that would dress very provocatively at church. And it drove us crazy. Us guys were like, you know, we're trying to worship God. And these girls are wearing these sundresses. And I don't even know what to call the outfits with the little spaghetti straps and everything. I'm just like, this is not okay. But the thing that made the one that I loved and the one I'm married to so special, she wasn't like that. She dressed with an eye to loving her Christian brothers. She was extremely modest. She was not flirtatious. And she had a gentle and quiet spirit, a very gentle, sweet disposition, always eager to encourage, to have a kind word. She did not participate in gossip. Or slander, or any kind of conversations like that. And that was just such a wonderful thing about her. So strength and honor as clothing versus the attire of a harlot. Okay, the next contrast, Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. You know, my precious dear wife, just one of the sweetest people ever, has never said a cutting thing to me in 20 years. Never. She has never said anything nasty to me or cutting to me. When she opens her mouth, the law of kindness is there. And it really is an amazing thing. Same thing with her children. She's very, very sweet. And when she opens her mouth, wisdom and kindness are there. She's taught me a lot about that kind of thing. Proverbs 5:3, the contrast, the immoral woman, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Now, what is that talking about? That means that she's a flatterer. She flatters, especially guys, and will use her words to draw them in. That's not what you're looking for, guys, at all. You want a woman who's on her mouth is wisdom, and when she opens her mouth, on her tongue is the law of kindness. Another contrast. Proverbs 31, verse 10, the godly woman. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. I trust my dear wife. The idea of her betraying me is completely foreign to me. It is something that I cannot even begin to imagine. because that is just not who she is. The heart of her husband, safely, trust her. The immoral woman, on contrast, Proverbs 5:5, her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. She betrays the covenant of her youth. She betrays the marriage of her youth. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Proverbs 5:8, remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, the godly woman. The immoral woman, you don't want to go anywhere near her, because her steps lay hold of hell. Remove your way far from her. She's not trustworthy. She's not someone you want anything to do with whatsoever. Another contrast in the same verse, Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And that's not talking about pulling down the studs and the drywall and the roof or anything like that. How is the wise woman building her house? By the things that she says, by the things that she does. She builds up and encourages the people in her household. My wife has done that with all of our children. She builds them up. She builds them with her words, with her manner, with the way that she is. And it's a wonderful thing to see. Foolish woman tears her house down with her own hands. Meaning what? She criticizes, she nags. She beats that husband up. The second he comes in the door, she unloads on him. She pulls her house down with her own hands. There are women that do that, that will destroy a perfectly good marriage, good, you know, decent children, and will ruin the entire mood of their household by pulling it down with her own hands. But the wise woman builds her house. 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, the godly woman, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And there it is again. That's what the godly woman is like. She is not merely outward. She does make herself look nice. She wants to look beautiful. She wants to look pretty. There is everything good about that. But that's not merely what her beauty is. The real beauty is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. A loud, boisterous, obnoxious, foul-mouthed woman, repulsive. And here's the contrast to that one. The immoral woman, Proverbs 11:22. As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. That means she lacks feeling, discernment, she lacks sense. A ring of gold and a swine's snout and a pig's nose, that's what a pretty woman is who doesn't have common sense, who doesn't have discretion and wisdom, who does not have a gentle and quiet spirit. She is like a pig with a ring of gold in her nose. And the thing is, once the ring of gold has gone tarnished, what are you left with? You're left with the swine. Another contrast, Proverbs 12, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She's the crown of her husband. In the second half of that same verse, Proverbs 12, 4b, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The woman is either going to make you or break you. She's going to make you or break you, guys. So you need to be very careful. You need to look for these qualities. Do not be taken in. Do not be taken in by the smooth words that drip honey from an immoral woman. Do not be taken in by those kinds of things. Look for the woman who's not flirtatious, who is not putting herself out there like that, who is clothed with strength and honor, someone who, when they open their mouth, there's gentleness, there is the law of kindness there, there's biblical wisdom there. This is someone who loves people. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. You know, I've told people before, there is nothing in this world that God could ask of me that I can't do if I have my wife's support. If she supports me, I can do anything, anything God asks of me, anything. Without her, I'm like an axe handle trying to chop down trees without the axe head on it. I mean, that's literally what I'm like. I think about myself before I got married. I was like an axe handle, and that's it. And God's mission for me was now go cut down all those trees. And all I could do was sit there with the axe handle and hit the trees, and nothing happened. When God gave me my wife, who is all of these qualities personified. It was like a razor sharp axe handle put on the handle, and now I can mow down the forest no problem. No problem. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. Another contrast. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers. This is Proverbs 19:14. But a prudent wife is from the Lord. You can inherit all kinds of things. You can inherit massive amounts of wealth. You can inherit a huge house. You can inherit all kinds of material possessions. But a prudent wife, godly wife, is from the Lord. It's a gift from God. See, God smiled on me. He pulled one of the most precious jewels out of his crown and gave her to me, as undeserving of her as I always have been. God gave me a prudent wife. Prudent wife is from the Lord. You don't inherit that. You can't be given that. It's from the Lord. So houses and riches are an inheritance from the fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. One of the best one-liners ever at a session meeting one time. We were giving one of the elders here a hard time about not having a smartphone. And one of the other elders said, the reason he doesn't need a smartphone is he has a smart wife. And so we were all immediately silenced, and he just kind of nodded, said, that's right. I don't need a smartphone. I got a smarter wife. The contrast to the prudent wife from the Lord. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And that's repeated. Proverbs 21:9, Proverbs 25:24, and Proverbs 27:15-16. In fact, one of those says it's better to dwell in the wilderness than in a house with a contentious woman. When my boys were little, we used to watch Man vs. Wild with Bear Grylls. And one of my little boys, we've gone over this passage many times. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than to be in a house with a contentious woman. And he said, Bear Grylls must have a really contentious wife because he's always in the wilderness. I said, well, I think he does that for the money, but you may be onto something there. Who knows? The last contrast here. The godly woman, Proverbs 31:12. I love this. This is my favorite one. With regard to the way she treats her husband, Proverbs 31, verse 12. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. My wife has always sought to do good to me. She has never tried to hurt me. Now, she has before, but it's not because she was being malicious. My wife has always sought to do good to me. She has never plotted against me or tried to destroy me or ruin me or hurt me. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Guys, it's getting harder and harder to find a woman like this. But if you find one, you need to go get her. Someone that will do you good and not evil all the days of your life. The contrast, listen to the immoral woman, Proverbs 7:26. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. What a contrast. The godly woman, she's married to one man, and she seeks to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The other one, she's made her career out of ruining men and destroying them and hurting them. Why? Because they don't care about them. Everything's about them. They're utterly self-centered people. Now, as I said, you could come up with the same kind of list for men. I should probably do that. But these are the things that you're looking for. Now, back to the story of my dear wife. I finally could see, after we had, you know, been working together in this college fellowship group for a while, I could see that, you know, she's really something special. And I was just so drawn to her and just thought the world of her and just really, really was ready to let her know this. And so I had a class that was on a Friday afternoon from 2 to 3, and I just made the decision. As soon as this class is over, I'm going to call her up on the phone, and I'm going to go out to her apartment and meet her in the parking lot, and I'm just going to tell her that I like her, that I want to spend more time with her, and that I would like to pursue a relationship with her. Now, I'd never done it right before. I'd never done this right before. So I called her, went out there, a couple miles away from campus. She lived away from campus. It was a beautiful day. It was a beautiful fall day. And I told her, I really have developed pretty strong feelings for you, and I really would like to start spending more time with you. I mean, this is really hard. Talk about putting your neck up on a chopping block. And she looked at me with those pretty green eyes and said, I'm not sure what God's doing with my heart and you. I said, okay. When you become sure, would you let me know what your thoughts are on that? And she said yes, and I said, okay, well, thanks for your time. So she went back into her apartment, and I walked back home, and I was not exactly sure what had just happened. I thought, man, I think I just got totally stiff-armed. But I was kind of out of it. I was pretty emotionally drained by that, and it was a beautiful, beautiful day. And I walked out into this huge field as I was going back towards campus, big, huge soccer field. There's nobody around. And it was such a glorious day, and the fall colors were starting to show, and it was warm. And I forgot that it had rained really hard the night before. And so I was just going to go lay in this field for a while. So I went over there, and I laid down in the field, and I just felt the water soak all the way through my pants, my shirt, my rear end, laying in the, and I thought, I just laid down on a wet field, and now I have to walk 2 miles back to campus with the entire backside of my body soaking wet. And I was just laying there and thought, oh, well, I'm still going to enjoy the view here. And just like the sun and the pretty stars, or the trees, and I felt the wind blowing and everything. And was like, you know, this is not how I pictured this going. So eventually got up, went back to my room, and wasn't quite sure what to make of that. So the next day, she called me and said, can we meet and talk? I said, sure. So we met at this building on campus. It was like a common student building. And she sat down, and she got out this notepad, and she had written down 3 pages of notes. And as soon as I saw that, that she had put that much thought into it, I knew we were going to get married. And I don't remember a whole lot of what she said, to be honest. I was just so excited because I thought, well, if she spent that much time writing stuff about this, then clearly, you know, this is going to happen. And she wanted to fast for like 3 days and pray together about all this stuff. And I said, I don't need to fast. I'm as sure of this as I could be. But you know, you're welcome to do that if you'd like. But we prayed a lot together about things, and the rest, as they say, is history. You know, within the next year we were married, and it was wonderful. She was wonderful. She was not the kind that would go after a guy or anything like that. I had to go to her, and it took work. It took work to figure her out and to understand her and to love her in the way that she needed me to. And she exemplified everything I just went through from Scripture there. And that's what was such a draw to me as a Christian man. So I want to encourage guys, those are the things you want to look for. And you really want to make those things a priority. And don't settle. Don't settle for anything less than these things. And I also want to say to the ladies, to the young Christian young women, you don't want to get so anxious to get married that you settle for someone that you shouldn't settle for. That you're willing to overlook character flaws or things that you know are not good just because you're afraid of being alone. So as odd as the days are that we live in, we still need to have biblical standards for this kind of thing, because we want to have marriages that are sweet and that last a lifetime, and that will really be a blessing to your life. So there's that, and I hope that was helpful to you, and I'm going to do a couple more videos, I think, on marriage as well. I think this is an important topic. It's a topic I've preached on a lot. So anyway, thanks for watching.